SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it, folks. The early line is live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. DRS, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling excited. Let's get after it. How are you?
Yeah, pockets got fat over the weekend, too. Hopefully everybody else there was certainly cashing in some tickets. I loved what was going on in Major League Baseball, the NBA, fantastic stuff. And the best part about it continues again this week. The playoff run is here, and we're here for it.
That's right, including the NHL playoffs. Snugging it off the top there. But, yeah, the hockey playoffs are going to begin. But if you roll through these 7-7, we prioritize this appropriate in terms of what really matters. Let's get after it. Giannis, oh boy, hurts his back in the beginning of game number one against the Miami Heat. He was on the wrong end where Kevin Love took a charge, tried to come back in. That did not work, and the Miami Heat ended up winning this game 130-117. Now, this was not a scenario where Miami was trailing by 10, Giannis left, and then all of a sudden the Bucks lost grip here, DRS. Giannis in his 11 minutes was a minus 9. The Heat came out early and established themselves in this game. Hard for the Bucks to make the comeback, though, without Giannis. It also doesn't help when you allow 130 points to the lowest scoring team in the NBA.
Jimmy Butler was fantastic. I mean, he's certainly the alpha dog point man that you're going to have on the Miami Heat. But also, we're getting a little bit of breaks here. Like, I don't know how long Giannis is going to be out. But let's just say he came down into back contusion and not, let's just say, a slip disc or something like that. I thought the worst break there was Tyler Hero breaking his wrist in this moment, because it looked like, if Giannis is going to miss a game or two and the Heat can leave Milwaukee up 2-0, they're probably going to win the series. And the minute I heard Hero was out, I'm like, well, even if Giannis doesn't come back, it's still going to be really hard for the Miami Heat to win this series. It was a bad break, no pun intended there, for Tyler Hero.
Yeah, it's almost cheat ahead a little bit, right, as you see that on the third slide there for 7-7. This wasn't a game where either team left clean. And there was a brief moment on the broadcast where Reggie Miller was saying that the Tyler Hero injury was more important. And I was ready to, like, My brain was exploding, but then he was just making the point, well, Tyler Hero's not coming back in this series.
Yes.
And Giannis is. And that's a very fair point. Tyler Hero is playing very well in this game. The Bucks remain series favorites. We will reset this 100%. The other big injury yesterday was that of John Morant. John Morant, another charge, nasty fall. Was only able to play 30 minutes in this game. Did have 18 points, 6 rebounds, and a pair of assists. Now, again, I don't think many people would tell you that the result of this game was decided by the injury, but the series, it matters a ton. The Lakers win 128-112. Ja himself, though, saying game two doesn't look great, and of course that's going to have a massive impact.
Yeah, he's saying basically he can't grip anything. And a lot of times athletes will lie. What do they use the old moniker, Kevin? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get back on that court, which he did say. And then the follow-up questions, he was like, man, I don't even know, to be honest with you. So you know the severity of the injury. And it's not as if you said, hey, we got a game one victory, I can rest. The Lakers are on the road and took game one. If they take game two, that's a 2-0 series in. And we don't know how healthy Morant is even going to be the rest of the way. Some of these injuries, absolutely disastrous. And Kevin, when we talk about handicapping the playoffs, you never want to try to handicap injuries. And look at basically the first weekend here. My goodness, across the landscape.
There's even a key injury for tonight's game. We'll get to that a little bit later on in this show. Radio audience is here on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line on SiriusXM channel 159. Moving it over to the other LA team, the Clippers were able to beat the Phoenix Suns. Not a great time to lose your first game with Kevin Durant in the lineup if you're the Phoenix Suns. 115-110, your final. Kawhi led the way 38-5-5. KD went out there, fell a rebound shy of a triple-double in his Phoenix Sun playoff debut.
Yeah, big time by Kawhi here. And this is what you got worried about. If Paul George was able to come back, we don't even know if he's going to be able to play in this series. But Kawhi certainly didn't need him. 13 of 24 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. But I guess that slow start for Kevin Durant, they just couldn't recover. But having said that, they had a lead. Talking about the Suns in the second half, weren't able to close the door. That's a big time win for the Clippers.
Yeah, they did. We always talk about this when we were doing in-play sports tonight. Show, can you get out in front as the big favorite? Can you retake the lead? The Suns were up 9 in the third quarter. That's game over. That's curtains. And the fact that this kind of swung back around the way it did, that was an ugly performance there for Phoenix. Russell Westbrook with one of the most unique performances I've ever seen in my life. 3 of 19, yet it felt like he actually had a positive impact on the game. Just very – only him. Only Russell Westbrook. Major League Baseball, quickly, DRS. Stop me if you've heard this before. Giancarlo Stanton pulls up lame on a hamstring trying to extend a double. He hits the IL.
Does he even run it? He's a DH, and he strains his hamstring. I have no idea how this actually happens, but that's disaster mode here. That's one of your big heavy hitters in the middle of that lineup. And maybe he goes the route of Zion, and we don't see him again, K-Dub.
Yeah, I know that he'll come back. It's just take the single, take the slander online. It's all good. Like it's all good. It is what it is. Saturday's NBA action was fantastic. The game of the night, though, certainly, Donnie, Kings Warriors. The Kings win that game 126-123.
The crowd was amped up. It was so much fun to watch back and forth. And yes, the Warriors haven't just flipped on the switch on the road yet, Kevin, have they?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Also, one of the top transfers in Jesse Edwards goes to West Virginia. Big stuff. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. And if you want more Sports Grid, make sure you download the Sports Grid app, now available in the Apple Store. Phenomenal action. You can personalize that feed, follow your favorite sports, as well as follow your favorite hosts. You know, Donnie, the early returns on the app.
Yeah.
Is it true, Donnie? You're breaking all kinds of records. Most followed host that the app has ever seen.
I mean, I'm ready to redirect this app straight to my personal, you know, information here, the way it seems like the people want to get at it. But I love the fact that we now have an app. It's legit. It's official. And it's a great way to get after it. Love it.
And you also get all the projections in there, which is, again, very, very useful as we are in the NBA playoffs. And if you want to know all the ways you can watch SportsGrid, you go to sportsgrid.com/watch. Let's talk about, I think, the biggest result from the opening 2 days of the postseason in the NBA, which is the Bucks and the Heat, and the fact that Giannis left this game early, the fact that the title favorites dropped their opening game, 130-117, your final score, this game rocketing over the total, Miami pulling a near double-digit upset here. It's the Giannis portion of this DRS is so important, but Miami was up before Giannis left. I know it was the first quarter. Miami has, of course, given Milwaukee trouble before, right? Very notably here. The Bucks still favored in the series, but at minus 230. Down from a number that you, by the way, actually got much closer than I did when we tried to guess it on Friday, which was a minus 1,200 price on the series price here. The Bucks being favorite isn't surprising. But if Giannis isn't back for game two, and I know the MRIs were negative and clean, and he's going to be back in this series, but if he's not back for game two, I still think the Bucks might be getting too much credit here. We've seen Jimmy Butler take over series before. Maybe I'm not factoring the hero injury enough, but I don't think it is an overreaction to feel like Miami now might have enough juice to pull off the 8-1 upset here in the postseason.
I don't know if they do now, though. And this is the shame of that we talked about in the 7-7, Kevin, because what do we know about the Miami Heat typically? Now, they scored 130 points yesterday, which is very un-Miami Heat-like. Is there really offensively challenged? They have a great coach. Yes, they do. They have a solid starting five when healthy. Absolutely. But Tyler Hero was sort of that, you know, link that said, okay, well, Jimmy Butler can get his grime stuff here. Adebayo, I thought, was fantastic, just popping out around 15 feet to make, you know, Lopez try to come out and defend him. He was sticking that jump shot, which is huge. But Hero was that guy that could knock down three-point shots, create his own shot, and get instant offense, which is now taken away. But I did think it was a very impressive effort for the Miami Heat, because basically that entire second half, he scored 34 points in the third, 28 points in the fourth, really without Tyler Hero. I thought that was great. But as we said, and you just started this segment with, if Giannis is coming back into this series, Milwaukee's not going to lose that now. And it's the craziest part about it is, right, you're trying to weigh it, and you said it on the telecast. Like, hey, the bigger injury here is Tyler Hero. Like, wait a second, Giannis might be the best player in the world. Doesn't matter. We think he's coming back. Hero is gone for the playoffs here. So I love the fact that the Heat 130-117 victory ran away with it, Kevin. But I really worry about game two. I don't know if the Miami Heat would say, hey, we got our game, let's get back to Miami. But you're right. If Giannis misses game two, you have to win that game if you're the Heat. It's just a shame that one of your best, if not your best offensive weapon, Tyler Hero, is down now.
So, I the Hero injury definitely matters. He is meant to be this team's third best player.
Yeah.
The thing, they also kept, you know, hey, man, look, the Bucks know how to win without Giannis. So they're 11-8 without him, which is respectable. That's winning 57% of your games, 58%. With Giannis, they win 75% of their games. They're not the number one seed without Giannis. They are even with the Miami Heat if Giannis is out, right? Like, that's kind of the idea here. But it's now the Heat have home court advantage. Now the Heat have momentum. And again, in terms of who you trust in the postseason, right? If you remove Giannis, you trust Jimmy way more than anybody else in this series in terms of players. Eric Spoelstra versus Mike Budenholzer, sneaky. One of the biggest coaching advantages, that maybe the biggest coaching mismatch here in the opening round of this postseason. And I'm not here to tell you that, again, the Heat need to be favored in the series, but the Heat have home court now. And here's the other question. In terms of trusting Giannis, and now we can take this to the bigger scope of it, because the Bucks are not just still favored in the series. While they're not the favorites to win the championship anymore, they're only the second option, plus 320, still in front of Phoenix, still in front of Philly, right? Still under plus 200, still under plus 200 to win that Eastern Conference. Do you think that this is just a blip here for Giannis, or is this something that we have to factor in now the rest of the way?
I don't think so. And again, Kevin, you know how many times I've talked about this already, and usually it's pertaining to the Los Angeles Lakers. Banged up, we know AD tends to get hurt. He almost got hurt yesterday. LeBron James basically telling us, hey, if we weren't in the playoff mix, I'm out, like, because my foot hurts that much. But in that first round of the playoffs, don't you get a little bit of credit here if it's like one game every 3 or 4 days as opposed to back-to-backs and how important that would be? Giannis is going to have time to heal. And also keep in mind, maybe a couple years ago, I forget when it was, where they changed the structure from 5 games to 7 games. But that would have been massive. This was only a 5-game series, and Giannis might miss game two, but it's not. Everything is led, and rightfully so, for the NBA, because I think the thought process behind it was, we want the better teams to advance. Yeah, Cinderellas are great, but you know what's even better? LeBron and Giannis and, you know, the big-time players, Jokic and Kevin Durant, advancing, because the cream will rise to the top over 7 games extended. Even if you get banged up a little bit or sore, you get extra time to rebound. So I look at the Bucks here saying, if you like the Bucks to win the championship, I think it's wonderful that if you didn't bet it yet, they lost to the Heat and Giannis went down with an injury. I think Giannis would be fine, and I still think the Bucks are going to win this series, and you actually get a price point boost now from that game one loss.
So I would be interested in the Bucks if they move the numbers in a bigger fashion. They didn't move them. Donnie, they still looked off. I know it was a quarter. Do you trust Milwaukee fully? Do you trust this Bucks team fully with health? I know that you said you felt like they were the best team in the NBA, but the price wasn't good enough when you were trying to get involved with NBA title futures. Yeah. I don't have them winning the Eastern Conference. In fact, we did the brackets on BATR. I have them losing in the second round. Now, that's to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are losing in their series to the Knicks, and they can't claim injury for that. But the point is, I don't trust Milwaukee anywhere near as much as you. I think, and I understand it, but the first quarter, right, is going to now be completely thrown out of the conversation. The Heat were up early. We have seen Miami have postseason success, and again, specifically against the Bucks here. The Bucks are now plus money to win this series in less than seven games. Are you interested in a number like that? Do you expect Milwaukee? Do you think Miami can force at least a seven-game set here against the Bucks?
We're answering these questions without Giannis. I mean, it could come back and go, hey, what's that bone bruise in his lower back? That's why we just took an x-ray. There was nothing broken, but he's going to be down and reevaluated in a week and a half. That could devastate it. But if I'm just saying Giannis is going to appear, and I still think even if Giannis doesn't appear, the Bucks can win game two on their home court. But getting to your point here, overall team-wise, like the starting five, let's just say they're healthy, right? Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Lopez, Holiday, and Allen. Like their second wave of players, Crowder, Portis, Carter, Matthews, and Ingles. Like Joe Ingles is out there playing 15 minutes, knocking down three-point shots left and right. I just think they're so deep and talented here. And this one final shot here. Now, I didn't see the actual injury for Giannis. I saw it on replay. Did they cut it all to Thanasis? I mean, was he beside himself? Did he run out on the court? Did he carry Giannis back into the locker room himself? That's what I missed.
I mean, he would have gone out there and Gorilla Press slammed Kevin Love for his troubles.
Did he bring the SUV out and drive him back? Yeah.
We would have loved to see that. By the way, Kevin Love was sensational in this game.
Yes. And,
which, you know, you never want to overreact to game one, but when a guy like Kevin Love comes in and gives you 4 of 7 from beyond the arc in 23 minutes and plays that well, you look to game number two, what are those props going to be? Because he's going to continue to get 20-plus minutes for this team, no doubt about it. We talk about the two L.A. sides, the Lakers, Clippers, and those Phoenix Suns all next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. When week one in the NFL finishes up, all that's left is Monday Night Football, right? Everybody calls it Overreaction Monday. I feel like the NBA playoffs offer the same opportunity, but sometimes you're just adjusting based on what you've seen, and in other instances, you're overreacting. Yesterday, the two LA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, got huge victories to open their series. And maybe it'll tell the tale, or perhaps we could end up overreacting. To start with what was the first game of the day on Sunday, the Lakers and the Grizzlies. The Lakers win 128-112. They closed the game on a 15-0 run. They won the second half 69-47. This is a series that I ultimately picked Memphis to win. I just thought that perhaps the speed of Memphis would be a little too much. Now, I think that the Lakers are a true title contender. I actually don't think Memphis is. I think Memphis would lose in a Western Conference Finals if they were able to get there. I just didn't have a full 100% trust in the Lakers in this spot. And that's what you expect from the most unbiased man in the history of sports media. I feel terrible about that pick, Vodani, after one game. The idea that the Grizzlies have no answer for Anthony Davis, very correct. And LeBron James scored 21 points in this game and sat as a corner three-point option while Austin Reeves closed out the deal. D'Angelo Russell played very well in this game here. The Lakers, we'll get to the Ja Morant stuff in a second, but the Lakers looked like way too much for Memphis in a way that felt very sustainable moving forward.
By the way, I was going to give you a lot of props saying, like, Kevin was all in on the Lakers all season long, and then you hit me with this, you know, Trump shot here that's like, oh, no, I picked him to lose. Now, I feel like I am waving the flag for the Los Angeles Lakers right now because before the playoffs started, I saw the brackets came out, and to be honest, I thought the Lakers would be able to beat the Grizzlies before game one, and I caught a lot of flack. Yeah, they're going to lose in the play-in round. I said, no. Let's take a look at this. It's a long series here to start. I do think the Lakers match up pretty well with the Memphis Grizzlies if their superstars are healthy, and they are. Here's what I like today or what you're reading yesterday. And the national pundits, and you can't, you know, sort of fault them too much. It's, whoa, I think the Lakers got what it takes to win an NBA championship. I said, because of one game? Like, come on. We have to take a look at the teams as a whole and see how they can get through. But I do feel, Kevin, like looking at Twitter and looking at some of the national responses, it's almost like they just woke up like, wow, AD is pretty good, and so is LeBron. Well, they, you know what? They might be a pretty good team. That's what I get the feeling is going on right now.
No, look, and so for me, I don't know if that sounds odd. That I thought the Lakers. I've been calling the Lakers contenders for a while. There are I have Lakers West futures, but that's who cares. Hey, I got the Lakers at numbers that you'll never see again. Right? What good does that do any of you? You should have listened to me then, type of thing. Right? I do think there is arguably still value on the Lakers. Like, I don't think they should have the gap that they do between themselves right now and, say, the Golden State Warriors, who are trailing in their series, or even the Phoenix Suns, who are trailing in their series. The big issue for Memphis is LeBron had played 17 game number ones on the road in his career in the postseason. It's 3-14 in those games. I expected Memphis to win this game. They didn't. The Grizzlies now have to win 4 out of the next 5 games to avoid playing LeBron in a Game 7. LeBron has won 6 consecutive Game 7s. He's the best Game 7 player in the history of the sport. No argument should even be attempted. So that sounds like a bit of a disaster when now it seems like you're not going to have Ja Morant for Game number 2. We'll preview Game 2 when we get there. We know Memphis has an ability to win without Ja Morant at least once, but I thought you alluded to it off the top here. Ja Morant, I would be surprised if Ja's out for the rest of this series, just based on the early returns. But Ja Morant being compromised, even if he comes back, Game 3, Game 4, feels very likely to me, Donnie. And that makes it very difficult then on Memphis.
Yep, and you would see him coming back, probably flexing that wrist, moving it around. And we know in the NBA, it's a very physical game. So every time Ja Morant goes to the basket, what do the Lakers know? We know that he has an injured arm. Hey, look, I'm going to give you a hard foul. Nothing cheap here. But if you go up and try to extend on a layup and I smash your wrist, hey, that's going to be a foul. And you go to the free throw line, and we'll see how you can depend on that for the next 6 games, if there are 6 more games in this series. But that's terrible because, again, you preface it by saying the same thing with the Milwaukee Bucks, Kevin. If you lose a star player to injury, and even if he comes back and is still injured, at least you're used to, okay, good. Handled our business in game one. We'll make it through here, and eventually I'll be 100%. But now that pressure ratchets up because if your best player, again, talking about Giannis and talking about Ja Morant, at home, you've got to win this game. If you don't, and the Heat go back 2-0 back to Miami, the Lakers go 2-0 back to L.A., it's a wrap on the series. It doesn't matter. So when you're talking about you have extra time to get ready, you don't anymore. You're already down 0-1, and you're stars. But Ja Morant's probably going to do everything in his power to play, even if it's to the detriment of his team, because that's what most athletes do. They want to be out there to ride or die with their teammates. And it might actually hurt them, Kevin, in game 2 if he plays.
Yeah, I think to your point, right, the Grizzlies need game 2 more than any team needs game 2 in the postseason. And the fact that you're going to likely, based on the odds, have to play that game without Ja Morant is a disaster. I don't think there's any other way to put it. Let's get then to the Phoenix Suns, the favorites to win the Western Conference, still the favorites to win the Western Conference, lose for the first time with Kevin Durant in the lineup, 115-110 in their own building. Tough scene for overbackers as this goes under by the hook. Sometimes, though, that happens. Good scene for underbatters, for backers. We'll be kind to them this go around here. The takeaway, Donnie, from this game is, you know, you want to be like, Phoenix started slow, they never recovered. That's not what happened. Phoenix recovered and went up 9. And I think this is perhaps where you start to wonder about a team that really wasn't battle-tested in that 8-game sample size with Kevin Durant. Talked about it a bunch. They were supposed to play Denver twice. They played Denver twice. It's just Denver didn't send anybody out there for the game. So they weren't able to get a real test in that way. This is what happens, I guess, perhaps when a team is going out there and having to learn on the fly. I don't think it's too much of a panic, though. Kawhi Leonard was the best player in this game, 38-5-5. Kawhi can be the best player in this series, and the Suns can still go out there and win the series. I think Kawhi has to be the best player in the series for the Clippers to even have a chance. It doesn't feel like the sky is falling for me in terms of Phoenix winning the series. It might say more, though, about the Suns' chances to actually, though, win an NBA championship when you factor in the lack of experience together, the fact that this is the best team, this ninth game here, this is the best team they've played. And they did lose that game. I think the concern would be more the rest of the way than perhaps whether or not they win this series.
Here's where I like the Phoenix Suns to win the NBA championship, or at least before like the series started. Because again, I'm not taking a one game. So, oh man, Phoenix lost by five game one. They can't win the NBA championship. Stop it. And there's plenty of time to recover here. And I do believe they will. But also with the playoff structure, as I continue to talk about how lengthy it is, that helps the teams that rely more, Kevin, on their starting lineup than bench. You can't. If you come into the game and you say, okay, forget about the bench. We don't care who's on it, whether it's as strong as the Milwaukee bench or maybe as weak as you think the Suns bench might be. Kevin Durant drops 27. Booker drops 26. Craig gets 22 and Ayton gets 18. And then you have, you know, Chris Paul going for 11 rebounds and 10 assists. You tell me those numbers, Kevin? Like, yeah, man, come on. Phoenix won easily covered and away they go on their championship quest. But they end up losing that game. Why? Because the bench isn't all that great, but that's what you traded for Kevin Durant. It's like the Dallas Mavericks, right? Say, hey, we're going to make a trade here. We're going to get a superstar player, but gut our bench. The reason I liked Phoenix is because of how long the playoffs are. If they can stay healthy, I love their starting five, but they're going to need more than 2 points out of Biombo, Landale, or Jock Landale, 4 points, Shamet, 4 points. And nobody else scored on the bench at that point. That can't happen here. That needs the rebound, because it looks like if you're just taking game one in a nutshell, well, Kevin Durant needs to go for 35-plus points along with Booker for them as a chance to win. I know that's not fair, and that's not technically what's needed to happen, but just looking at the box score going like, what went wrong here with the starters? They were tremendous, but the bench didn't help them out, and that's why they lost.
Well, look, that is something that happens, though, when you go all in, right, for Kevin Durant. You're going to lose some of your depth. So you need more from your starters. Look, also, sometimes it's as simple as this, right? One team shot 10 of 31 from three. While that's not great, how many? Six of 19 from beyond the arc. In 2023, how many teams are going to win any basketball game with six made three-pointers, Donnie? I mean, we have guys that make... Steph Curry made six threes in that game, number one, against Sacramento. Himself. The Suns as a team made six. You know, and I saw some chatter from people saying, oh, yeah, the Suns, they just don't get them up enough. With Kevin Durant, they shoot 12 of 32 on average from beyond the arc. That's one of those, like, that's an adjustment for me that feels pretty simple for Monty. Hey, we have shooters. Let's shoot. Hey, Devin, can't be 0 for 3. CP3, can't be 1 for 2. Let's increase that volume. Let's increase the math and put that more on our side. The Suns are under minus 200 now to win this series. A plus price for them to win this in six or less, which I still think is reasonable. The Clippers' home court to me does not feel spectacular, though to give the Clippers credit, it was only them and the Kings that were above 500 on the road in the Western Conference, and a road win here goes a long way. Last nugget on this one, we'll get to the other NBA action. They did basically confirm Paul George is not coming back in this series, no matter the length. That obviously a huge blow to the LA Clippers, no matter what. We talk about the remaining game number ones that took place over the weekend next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep things moving here on the Early Line. There's still a ton from the opening weekend of the NBA postseason to get to here. In hour number two, we will be previewing Kings, Warriors, as well as Sixers, Nets. So if you don't hear those here, we're going to try to get to them. But if not, we'll be able to kind of reset those series in hour number two. To close out Sunday, Nuggets, Timberwolves. I don't want to spend too much time on this idea, but it would be dishonest to not mention it. And I don't know if Donnie's turned me into too much of a curmudgeon or now I'm just kind of coming around to what's natural. The Nuggets-Timberwolves start time felt like a prank. 10:40 tip for East Coast people on Sunday is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, people have work. People have things to do. The Saturday stuff started the late game at 8:30, and Sunday you went 10:30. And to pull that at least into betting, in Donnie, in terms of how much time we need to spend talking about this, not even because it was a 29-point blowout for the home favorite Denver Nuggets, but this by far, had to be the least bet game of this opening NBA weekend.
Yes, I'm actually glad it basically ended up almost a 30-point victory for the Denver Nuggets. Yeah. I was nowhere near. I was well in bed before this game tipped off. And it's not like, oh, well, the fans will watch and it's for home. You have to understand this. I get when the start time is for the home arena. But again, more people live in the Eastern market than any other. If you're the NBA, it doesn't make sense to me. Now, if you would have told me, like, hey, look, we got to make sure all these games get in. What do you want us to do? We're starting at 12 o'clock. You didn't. You started at 3 o'clock yesterday. If you just started everything almost similar to what you did Saturday, what would be the point? Nobody would be upset about an 8 o'clock or an 8:30 start time on Sunday night. So at least you could get a little bit of the game in. And if it is a blowout like it was, you could shut it off and go to bed. It's ridiculous at a 10:40 tip time on a playoff game on a Sunday night. There has to be reasoning of why this happens, because to me, if I am an advertiser, I'm saying, well, I just paid all that money. You ran my ads at like 12:15 at night when nobody saw it. Like, what are we doing here? And it's a, Kevin, it's the number one seed too. Yeah, the number one seed got a 10:30 tip time.
You didn't read the fine print. Like, man, I just got an NBA ad. When's this thing? Huh? 1:30 in the end of the fourth
infomercial.
Quarter while
I might as well do an infomercial. Yeah, come on.
Honestly, I mean, you might as well do a TikTok there, and you'd be better off. And here's the other deal. In terms of takeaways, right, prop bettors, what it's very difficult when you get a blowout like this. This was really the only game, I would argue, where a blowout truly impacted all prop bettors. Because Celtics-Hawks, Jason Tatum played 40 minutes in that game, right? Maybe you could, like, if the Sixers hung or the Nets hung around a little bit more, maybe you would have got more Embiid down the stretch, sure. But this is one of the, Nikola Jokic didn't score in the second half. He didn't score. And this ended up a 29-point victory for Denver here. Minnesota obviously has to get back to the drawing board. To mention Celtics-Hawks here, DRS. Boston wins 112-99. This, to me, by the way, we talk about bad beats. This is, I think, far more difficult for people than your, oh, it came down. Like, I lost Suns-Clippers to over 225.5 last night. I lost by the hook. But I also didn't think I was going to win for the lion's share of that game. The Celtics scored 74 points in the first half. Team total should have been a window walker. They give you 38 in the second half. All of a sudden, that 30-point halftime lead looks a little bit kinder on the final tallies here. Boston looks way better, but Atlanta did at least grab a bit of momentum down the stretch here. I don't know how the circle item isn't another horrendous Trae Young postseason performance. Look, it's not as simple as if Trey's great, Atlanta will win. But they're going to have a much better chance if Trey can find something. People keep, oh, Boston's very switchable on the perimeter, and that's very difficult for Trae Young. That is not acceptable for a guy on a max deal who is supposed to be a franchise cornerstone here. Trae Young, to me, and that 5 of 18 performance, it's just hard not to narrow in on that as the one of the primary reasons Atlanta wasn't even able to crack 100 points in this game.
And you're right, and you can't even blame it on, well, what did you want them to do, Kevin? They had two hard games in the play-in, and they played 24 hours ago. They didn't. They were rested all week long knowing exactly who their opponent was going to be. And also, DeJounte Murray shot 25 times, scored 24 points. You want to talk about your backcourt between point guard and shooting guard not giving you an efficient status? That's how you get dropped by 30 in the first half of the game. But it just goes to tell you how good the Boston Celtics actually are, where, yeah, if one team's not giving their A performance, we're just going to smoke you right out of the gate. That's what the Celtics can do. They're talented here, but we're back to the Hawks here. You better get a better performance in game two. You can't just be like, okay, we're down 0-2. We're going to head back to Atlanta, see if we can salvage a game. I'm expecting a lot more out of the Hawks, and you're right. Some people look and say, ah, 112-99, almost got it within double digits. Stop it. The game was over at the half.
It was, but also Joe Mazzulla doesn't know that. How did Jason Tatum play 40 minutes in this game? Yeah, you know what? Like, and I don't know if that's postseason inexperience, his first playoff game, but Joe Mazzulla didn't think this game was in hand. He ran an 8-man rotation out there.
Yeah,
like this
good.
Was the NBA yeah. Finals. You know what I'm saying? Boston, by the way, are the favorites now to win the championship with Milwaukee losing game number one. I think that's fair, right? But also, Milwaukee's still favored to win the series. Milwaukee would have home court advantage in the series. So you're going to watch that futures market have its ebbs and flows. The bigger part of it, I would say, is if Milwaukee gets dropped in round one, Boston's going underneath plus 200 to win the NBA championship this year, because they really still believe that Boston, in terms of tiering this out, they only think Milwaukee has a chance to hang with them. Let's get over then to that game between the Knicks and the Cavs. This was, for me, what I thought was the biggest overreaction game from the slate, right? Some of this, I think people are making appropriate adjustments. Others, I think people are getting caught up a little bit too much. Time will tell. But I saw some folks that I respect saying the Knicks are clearly way better than Cleveland. It's not close because of a 4-point road victory. Look, some of these road teams were going to win, and that was obviously evident on Sunday here when we kind of try and figure out, well, what went wrong for the Cavs? Well, it's the team who starts 2 7-footers allowed 17 offensive rebounds and was out-rebounded 51-38. We can talk about efficiency. We can talk about a better game plan on Jalen Brunson. What you cannot do is start 2 7-footers, Donnie, and get dominated like this on the glass. And, you know, J.B. Bickerstaff, back to the drawing board. Yeah, Evan Mobley, sit. Jared Allen, sit. Explain yourselves. And I know it's not just them. Josh Hart was getting in the mix. But that, to me, is the most obvious aspect of game number one that needs to be corrected on the Cleveland end of things.
Sounds like you want more Chetty out there in the ballgame as opposed to the Twin Towers.
Wow,
now,
yeah.
If you take a look at the overall offense here, it was bad on both sides, Kevin. 42% from the field for the Knicks. You had 43% from the field for Cleveland. Look at the three-point shooting, 27% and 32%. We expect that probably to get better, or it looks to say improve over as the series goes. But you're right. The overreactions, which we love here. It's when we play armchair quarterback on Sundays. Man, how did that actually happen? The series isn't over. It's 7 games here. I still do think Cleveland is the better team, but you're right. You know, because I don't know if it's a lot of, you know, Northeastern people, I should say, that I follow on my timeline. It's like, man, Knicks should be blowing this team out, or the Knicks are way better. No, they're not. They weren't even priced that way. And also, if that was the matter of the fact, we saw it coming. This was the first price series, Kevin, that we had on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was like minus 176 yeah. to start, minus 188, minus 196, over 2-1. Where was all the Knicks money before that in the hype? Before this game ended 101 to 97, it wasn't there. Cleveland's not knocked out yet. I still do think Cleveland actually wins a series.
Yeah, I do as well. I the Knicks can hang. The Knicks were above 500 straight up as a road dog. The Knicks winning one of these games here isn't surprising. But also, Cleveland, I think, has an ability to win in the Garden. We saw the Hawks be able to do that, and I think ultimately the Cavs will be able to do that as well. I really am interested to see what they start to do with the Brunson Randall prop situation. Look, Randall's going to get his because, well, I mean, Julius Randall's not going to have it any other way. 7 of 20 in this game, 19 points went under his prop. Brunson finishes 11 of 24 with 27 points. But what might be lost in that box score, if you weren't able to catch this game, is that Brunson had 6 in the first half. And not because he started slow. Major foul trouble. That's why Brunson only played 30 minutes in this game. Brunson was the guy, obviously, for the Knicks in this game. You go back to the regular season, obviously it's one game, but Brunson played this Cavs team in Cleveland and scored 48 on them in a game that Julius Randle missed. This looks like a Brunson series. Then again, every series for the Knicks should be a Brunson series compared to a Randle series, but something to keep an eye on when those props come available. I would love to do a bit about streaming and how much that ruins live betting, but we don't need to get into that right now. Let me get to Kings Warriors, DRS. Let me get to Kings Warriors here. Again, Sixers, Nets, what do you want me to say? The Nets played well and lost by 20. The end. okay? Kings-Warriors was fantastic. 126-123, your final score here. De'Aaron Fox with 38 points in a postseason debut. 32 from Malik Monk off the bench. My single biggest takeaway, though, from the purest betting angle, is if you are going to repeat the attempts that we saw in game number one from the Golden State Warriors from the three-point line of 50, this is going to be the greatest series in the history of the world to bet. Every game is going over. Every Steph prop's going over. Every Clay prop is going over. 50 threes. 50 of them done. If they copy that over, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really what you want to see on that. And also, I thought the Sacramento Kings were going to be live to win the series and also live to win game one. And it didn't disappoint with the crowd level. That's what I spoke about most last week, saying, all right, let me get this straight. The Warriors, who absolutely stink on the road, are probably going to step into an environment where they're really going to be shaken up. Now, I'm not saying that, oh, well, we've had NBA championships, we won on the road big time. I'm talking about a Kings fan base that for basically 20 years has not watched playoff basketball, and to get the Warriors in round one and all the disrespect on the Kings, who are much higher seeded than the Warriors, almost like a formality that the Warriors are going to walk through. I don't believe that's the case. I said Sacramento was going to win this series and win game one, and they did. Now we'll see if that holds water, because games 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and maybe 7, you don't win a series based on one. But I love the atmosphere surrounding the Kings. And also, Kevin, I love the end of the game as well, where it was back and forth. It wasn't like, hey, we can't just stomp the Warriors, they'll be back. You had to take that game from the Warriors, and they did.
I 1,000%. The Kings not having a halftime lead felt concerning. Yeah. And then it wasn't. The Kings never led by 10. They didn't have a double digit lead, which is really, really impressive. But also, again, they lost 30 games on the road this year, the Golden State Warriors. Like, oh, how did this happen? Where was the game played? Oh, that's how it happened. That's been the story for Golden State. The Warriors remain series favorites at minus 156. I don't have much issue with that. I think that's where the pricing should have been, though, before this series started here. Golden State never should have been this minus 250, minus 260, minus 275 favorite that they were booked to begin this series as a six seed here with how bad they've been on the road. Closing out hour number one after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out this opening hour here, hour number two, absolutely packed. We've got a lot of baseball to hit, as well as two NBA games tonight. But also, we introduce a new postseason tonight, the hockey postseason begins. I will advise everybody to check out our friends up north, GTD. I know we'll have you covered in this, as well will the crew on Coast to Coast. But also, I mean, look, people have been sending DMs left and right. I mean, a couple of hockey guys. I mean, any juice on tonight's slate? The Bruins open this, of course, with their record-setting season as the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. The Avs are 7-1. Connor McDavid and co. plus 800. Four games on tonight's slate here, DRS.
I guess it's just basically one of those bets, which they probably have here. I didn't go through. It should be just the Boston Bruins versus the field to see what actually ends up, because the Bruins were sensational, setting just about every single record you could set. We have to remind ourselves, it's the hockey playoffs. It starts now and ends in like 3 months here. One of the longest grinds in sports, where series after series after series you have to win. Is there enough of a price point here on the Bruins, Kevin, at a plus 340 to say, yes, there's value? I sort of have that same feeling that I get from the Milwaukee Bucks. If I think the Bucks are the best team, I still need a good price to bet them. And the same thing about the Bruins. Is plus 340 enough to entice you to a Stanley Cup victory here on only that number?
The big thing for tonight's slate, well, I guess the two big things that I would be keeping an eye on. The Bruins are in action. They're a minus 230 favorite over the Florida Panthers. It wasn't all that long ago where, was it a Toronto team or a Tampa Bay team? Again, forgive me, I'm Lightning. Such a hockey guy. There's so much hockey knowledge in there. The Lightning, Donnie, that got swept in that opening round?
Game one, was it? Opening round, was just like, how did that even happen when they were supposed to walk to a Stanley Cup? Yeah, correct.
Exactly. So I just want to see how the Bruins kind of hold as we now flip it to the postseason. And then the Oilers and the Kings. The Oilers are an absolute gift. The idea around them is every game goes over, right? Yes. They have the best player in the world in Connor McDavid. And you would think, probably not. The best over percentage team in the entire league, the Edmonton Oilers at 63%. Total 6.5. Looks a little light.